Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Amen. We'll see who else calls in on this evening.
We are going to have the standard business meeting. I sent out the agenda. There's no real update on a lot of things. I'll go over the the hydroponic system, the microgreens. I'll go over some things with the land as far as looking into other avenues of financing some things versus, we talked about the whole life insurance, but I've also been looking at loans and grants, mainly at grants. I'm not really trying to take out any loans if it's not necessary. A lot of things out there for black women, they do not like black men. Yeah, as you say, minority businesses, but specifically for, black women-owned businesses, things like that. But not the black man, okay, which, I just find kind of hilarious that they would do things that way. But it doesn't surprise me. You don't really want to help the head of the family. And it's really, I think it's, still designed to separate the families. So they'll help the woman, but they won't help the man. And that's what they've always done.
Can I ask a question, Brother Miles? Why is my name not under the attendees?
Huh?
I'm not down there. You got Brother Miles, Sister Nancy, Sister Denise, Sister Lorraine, Sister Rachel, Brother Gary, and Brother Carlton. I'm not there.
I apologize, my sister. I just left you off.
Now, see, my feelings
hurt
now.
That was complete oversight.
My feelings is hurt. I'm telling you, I'm finna cry. No, I'm just playing.
I'm sorry. Because that was an oversight on my part. If you're not on there, that was a complete oversight.
Did you oversee me because I'm short?
Maybe I overlooked you because you're
short. Maybe. That's what I'm asking.
I went out of my head and I put that list from best I could remember, and I know that you're there. But I left your name off the list, and I sincerely apologize.
I'm short.
No, it's not because you're short. It's just because I'm getting old. Memory lapse. So, I will update the attendance report and put you on there.
Thank you.
Because you're there all the time, and, that's a complete oversight on my part. Seriously.
He done threw me away.
No, never. I would never do that. That's just, like I said, it's complete oversight. And as soon as you said it, I was like, yep, I did forget her name. Because I know who I put on there. And I did forget your name. And I am sincerely sorry. I apologize for real.
I accept your apology. I'm just playing with you.
Thank you, my sister. No, it's it's a serious thing. I will amend it, amend that report and include your name on it.
Thank you. Can I be number one?
Yeah, why not?
Oh my
goodness. I'll put your name on the bottom and say first and foremost. All right. I really do. That was a complete oversight on my part. So I apologize for that.
I accept your apology.
And I have that report up right here. So
I'm just messing with you.
Well, I don't think you're messing with me. I think you're serious. Let's see, and I almost put
Brother
Miles.
Okay, I'm going to have to quit because, I ain't got no sense.
What? Yeah. So I amended the report, and And let me put here, Sister Nancy, comma, was left out. By administrative oversight. Can't say I'm getting old. That just wouldn't fly. All right. So I will resend this out. So we'll go ahead and start. We'll do our statement. And, yeah, let me find it. I don't even have it up. Enough fate. Okay. May I have you ladies to cover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. I know a lot of people listen to this broadcast and online and a lot download it. For those who are attending the business meeting, in order to vote, you must be here. So let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Father, we just magnify you on today when we lift you up. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For truly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you on today, Father, for keeping us all safe. Father, for allowing us to be able to provide, Father. For giving us a sane mind, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you. All glory and honor belong to you, O Yah. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And our scripture for this evening is Psalms 133. The book of Psalms 133. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. We are going to make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. All in favor say aye. Well, can I have a second?
A second.
A second.
Amen. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed say nay. The ayes have it. All right. We are, as order of business, we have Sister Mary, Sister Denise, and Sister Rachel in attendance, along with me, Brother Miles, at this moment. If anybody else joins in, we will add their name to the attendees list. Order of business. Let us bow our heads and let us pray and ask y'all to be a part of this meeting.
Yes.
Father Yah, we come before you right now, Father. You are our guide. And Father, we can do nothing without you. And Father, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need for you to tell us what path we should take to open doors for us, Father. Mm-hmm. We have prepared a place here for you, that you might be part of this meeting. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let me get back to the agenda. Okay. Discussion on the land. We are proceeding, you know, we're still making regular payments. And we are proceeding, we're still looking into the whole life insurance. It looks like doing it with us at our age is going to be rather expensive, especially for the policy that I was looking at trying to do, so we may have to do it one person at a time. And then over time, you know, include people. I have to look and see how I can break this up. Then we're also looking at grants and loans. More so grants, because grants you don't have to pay back. And it appears, I already knew this, but the farm aspect of this, I will probably change it into a 501c3. We as an organization are a 508c1a, which is a faith-based organization. Actually established as another government. And to get the grant from the government to fund different things, you know, they'll do a whole lot of stuff, but you got to be a 501c3, which as far as the organization goes, I don't want Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries up under a 501c3, because then you place yourself up under the government. And a lot of the things that I teach, I could not teach because, it, you know, I can't teach against, you know, being gay because of federal law that being gay is supposed to be okay. It's legal in the land, but it's not legal in the eyes of the Most High. And so as a 508, I don't have to worry about that. But if I become a 501, if we become a 501c3, then we have to worry about that. And so as far as the ministry goes, no, that we will maintain a 508. But the farm aspect of this, Yesharon Farms, I'm going to probably make it a 501c3. And from that aspect, then we would qualify for, you know, the federal grant money that's there. And we would look at making certain aspects of this like I said, I've set aside land that's going to be public. People will know about it. And I've set aside land that nobody will know about except for us. So the land that is public, then I will probably make it a 501c3. And that will be the name for the farm. But then we will also be taking proceeds from whatever we generate from that to fund the stuff that we want to do for the community. So I might ask, I don't think you're working right now, are you, Sister Mary?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so I might ask you, and you have access to the internet, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I might ask you to start doing a little bit of research for me.
Okay.
Especially from the standpoint of minority-owned women business and farms. Because if that's going to be the best way to go about this, then, you know, I'm open to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have to set up, you know, I would probably want to set up some type of shell corporation with Yeshurun Farms being the parent company, and then we would come up with another company that would be owned by a woman, say yourself or you sisters.
Okay.
Because you would qualify. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And then still pursue, you know, the other avenues, like me being a veteran, and those types of things, because there's other doors that are available to me in that regard as well. And being a beginning farm, you know, there's a lot of money out there. They will do a lot of things. Give, you know, a sufficient amount of money as a grant, not a loan, but a grant. And so we want to look into those things and pursue them, and at the same time pursue, you know, any other avenues that we have so that we can make sure we get this thing going the way that it needs to go. Since grants are, you know, we just got to make sure we do what the grant requires. And so I'm thinking that the rationale will be that, you know, for us is to teach other black-owned or black minorities, whether they're women or men, how to successfully farm or how to be sustainable. And that would be one of the, you know, one of the areas that we would focus on, and how to feed yourself, that kind of stuff. How to generate your own energy as a nonprofit, and we will qualify for other types of loans. So we could qualify just as farmers, and they would, you know, come in. They will build certain things. There's a lot of things that they will do. But then on another level, getting access to another revenue stream as a grant or grant is teaching our people. And so as we learn it, we document it and then put it in a form that we're able to pass that information on to other minorities, specifically Hebrew Israelites. That's what I'm looking at as far as the 501c3, because, you know, a 501c3 needs to have a purpose. And who you're going to, you know, help, and how you're going to help them. And so I have another 501c3 that's called Job Ready Information Technology. And it was something that I was going to do a couple of years back where I was going to take the youth and train them in IT and, you know, specifically help them to get certified in different aspects of IT. I have like 5 or 6 or 7 certifications. And so I'm qualified to teach. You know, I have a teaching certificate also where I could, you know, do this. Looking at that aspect of it, and, you know, and I was looking at addressing that aspect of our society that is at risk. You know, children coming out of high school, 15 to 21 years old. I put that down. I presented it to the state. The state liked the idea, but they said they were already doing something 5 or 6 years ago. I don't have a doubt that if I went back to try to pursue it, I could probably do it, you know, on my own as far as not going through the state. But okay. If you got conversations going on in the background, make sure you mute yourself. So, you know, we got a lot of our youth that they could be making good money. It's not easy money, but it's good money. But, you know, it's something that I'd rather take those that already have a love for doing it, because if they love to do it, then it's not going to be hold on a second. Yo, what you need? All right. What was I going to say? So just should I have to go back to work, that would be something that, you know, that would probably be the vein that I go down, since that's what I've done for the last 40 years or whatever, almost 50 years. But the goal is, my goal is not to go down that road. I wanted to take a break from IT. But, you know, having those things open, those avenues open to me, to us. My being retired military, there are special loans and special grants that they have for, you know, VA veterans that I'm also looking into. As far as, again, you know, being able to do some of these things quickly. I know that I can go and tell them that I want to build a home, and I want to build a home up there, and, you know, whatever the price is, as long as I can show the income that I can pay for it, then I can get it, you know, with no money down. You know, like up to $750,000, no money down. And I can do, and I can also do, what do you call it, multi-tenant. Like a quad, you know, what do you call them, not a duplex, but quadplex, things like that, where it's just, as long as I can say I got these people to rent it out, then they would do it. So just different things that are open that so that we're not stuck where we're at, if that makes sense. But I haven't taken these things off the table.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I may get with you, Sister Mary, since you're not working, and ask you to look into some of the grants, and let's see what's totally required, if we can map it out. I will also be looking into them. I have somebody else. You know, the more eyes we have on it, the better. And just a minute, please. All right. Any questions?
Well, not so far.
Okay. All right. Sister Lorraine is not here today. She had been looking up grants, but I think the more eyes that we have on this, the better. And there's so many things available out there that we need to, you know, I need more than one set of eyes on them. I'm looking, you know, of course we'll be looking, and then we will, you know, sit down and talk about it as a group, so that we have an understanding of, you know, what we're required to do. Like I said, I know that for a fact that I'm going to have to do a 501c3. Set that up, and then, you know, file with the IRS to become an official 501c3, just like an official 508. And once they approve it, then these programs become, the grants and stuff become available, where we are eligible to apply. Okay. So we will make sure that we get that portion taken care of for sure. Project, how are your sister's little gardens coming along that you were working?
Say it again.
How are your gardens, your little gardens coming along? That I know you guys were saying that you were doing some growing yourselves.
Yeah, but it's coming along slow because I haven't been able to put them out yet outside yet. So
wait a minute. So you growing them in the window or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I started them from seeds, so they just starting to come up.
Okay. And when you did them from seed, What method did you use to germinate them?
I didn't use no. I just put them in the dirt.
Oh, okay.
I just put the
seeds
in the
dirt. Yeah, there is a faster way if you're looking to make them. I did some only ones that haven't worked, and I think because it just got too hot in the grow room. I did some cucumbers that mm-hmm. just didn't do well. But squash, a winter squash and a summer squash, watermelon, some peppers. Everything came up except for the cucumbers. And what I did was, I used some sandwich bags and paper towels. And you put the seed
in. Again.
I used a sandwich bag and a paper towel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you take the seeds and you know, put them on the paper towel and you dampen the paper towel. You don't make it where it's wringing wet, but you make it, you know, sufficiently wet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it inside the baggie, inside the sandwich bag, and, you know, just put it in a dark place. And
it
about,
makes it like a terrarium, right?
Yeah. And they will germinate and come up, like, within 5 to 7 days.
Okay.
And so once I did that, once I took them out of the, you know, the baggie and put them in, I put them in this stuff is called rock wool. It's a growing media. You know, I could have just put them in dirt, but I put them in this rock wool. And watered them with a hydroponic solution. And you know, they've taken off. I will take a picture and send it to you. I think I sent a picture out already with the seedlings where they germinated. But then this is now probably, I'm thinking for them, it's like 4 or 5 days after they germinated. So it's like at day number 11 or 12. And they look like, you know, they look like, they're not waiting to come up out of the ground. They are have some big leaves on them, and they have some roots. These grow lights, you know, growing them up under the light really does speed things up because, you know, they're getting light 24/7. So if you use a lamp, like, you know, just a house lamp or whatever, just so that they got light, they would grow faster because if they're, you know, getting light just during the day, and if it's not a sunny day, then they're not going to do real well anyway. But if you have them up under, you know, just like a normal light bulb or whatever, then they should do better. But these, you know, I'm doing them under grow lights, and so they're not even 2 weeks old, and they are, you know, pretty healthy-looking little plants. So I'll take pictures of them and send it so you can see, knowing that these are only about 11 or 12 days old.
Okay.
But germinating them, you know, in the paper towel seems to work real well. And then I put some directly into this grow media, this rock wool, and you know, some of them came up real fast, and I was like, good grief. And then some of them just started coming up. So the paper towel seems to be a media that the seeds like.
Okay.
So if you got like a shoebox or something like that, an old shoebox, you know, you just take, you know, put them in the paper towel, wet it, put that inside the baggie the sandwich bag, seal it up, and then put it in a shoebox and close it up for about 5 to 7 days.
Okay.
And when you go back, they will have grown, you know, roots and things like that. They would have germinated and grown roots, and some of them will have, you know, little leaves on them. Just depends upon what type of plant it is. When you put them in the dirt, it seems like it takes them a little bit longer to grow.
Yeah.
To get started. Just something to try next time you try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You try to do something from seed. I was going to do strawberries from seed. Then I decided against it because if you do strawberries from seed, they will not... produce fruit that first year.
Oh, okay.
Won't produce fruit until the second year. But if you do them from plants that are already, let's say, a year old, and you just take the, the runner, and cut it off where the plant is trying to spread itself. If you take that runner off, because they're already producing flowers, you take that runner, you know, I found out how to do the runner itself, and rather than let it anchor itself in dirt, cut it off about 4 inches and then put it inside the hydroponic system, inside with the growing media, and that stem that you cut off has to be down in the nutrient, and it will continue to drink from there, and then the end that the is going to turn into a plant will start to grow roots.
Okay.
And it'll grow roots, you know, into whatever it is that you have it trying to grow roots into. So I decided to go that route. I went today and bought 2 strawberry plants, which really have probably about 2 pots that have really about like 8 plants in it, you know, 4 plants a piece. And they already had some flowers on them, which, you know, if they get pollinated, then they'll turn into strawberries. But I don't want them to turn into strawberries. So I'm going to cut those flowers off. And then if I see any runners, I'm going to cut those off as well. So that, you know, can feed the plant and have it concentrate on just getting bigger. stronger.
Okay.
And then when it shoots off runners again, then I will, on these plants, I'm going to keep cutting off the flowers. I'm not going to let them produce strawberries. I'm going to keep cutting off the flowers, but I'm going to let them produce runners. And I'm going to take the runners and so that I can get some strawberry plants that are not planted in dirt. Because I think that was part of the problem. You know, they did well. You know, I cleaned off enough dirt for them to work. But, they, you know, they had the system all filed up with dirt, too. And so I don't want any of that stuff in the system. So I'm going to let those, I think I'll probably transplant those tomorrow. And start trying to let them produce runners. But I'm going to cut the flowers and stuff off. Okay, so, and what are you, weren't you trying to do herbs?
Yes. I had cilantro, cilantro, and turmeric, and something else. That's all I see right now. Cilantro,
okay,
and
all from seed.
Hot peppers. Huh?
You started all those from seed, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They coming up, but it's like slow, and they real thin.
They're real bent.
Thin.
They're real thin. They're thin. That could be a lack of light. But they're thin. Are they long and thin or short and thin?
Short and thin.
But then they, you know, and you just been using water or what have you been using on them?
Just water.
Okay. So once they come out of the seed, once that seed comes up and breaks off the leaves?
Mm-hmm.
Then you probably want to start feeding them plant food, some type of food.
Okay.
And they should start to thicken up. They'll start off real thin, you know, when they're first coming out of the seed anyway.
Okay.
And then that seed will, you know, it'll break out of the dirt, but then you'll still see the seed portion of it on the leaves. But once that come off, then you would want to feed them, you know, some type of plant food.
Okay.
The microgreens, the salad mix, I don't know whether I just got some bad seeds or what. But I think this last batch, I did something different, and I think that it just got too hot in the, like I said, in the grow room, because I went in there a couple of days and it was over 100 degrees. And, you know, certain types of plants won't do good in that. I think the cucumbers won't do good in it, and the salad mix won't do good in it. So I had to change out an exhaust fan in the bathroom. And the one that I bought, you know, I couldn't get an exact replacement for what I had, so I bought a new one. And I just changed the one out of the master bedroom and put it in, you know, into that bathroom, the main bathroom for the rest of the family. And then this new one I put into the master bedroom because it had like a Bluetooth speaker and stuff on it. So I could play music from it. And then I bought the stuff to I got like a window AC out in the sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to do is the front side of it where the air comes out is put a vent there, a separate vent that's going to capture not all the air, but most of it, and run it straight up into these grow rooms so that I can try to keep the temperature down in them at least to the high 70s so that some of these seeds that are having problems with the heat, that this AC will keep it, you know, cooler than the surrounding area. So I bought that stuff today, and after I installed the exhaust fan, I was pretty much done with doing installing work for today. So I will get up early in the morning and take this duck in on this AC and then run it up to, you know, into the first grow room. And I got the grow room close enough together that I can just put a duck between them. And it's, you know, the pressure from the AC coming into one room should just push it into the other grow room. And that will keep those, you know, the goal is to keep them in the high 70s. I'm not trying to keep them, you know, any lower than that. Because I don't want this AC unit to be running and freeze up, because that's what it'll do. It'll get ice on it, and then it won't do anything. Then I got to turn it off and let it, you know, thaw out. And while it's doing that, then the temperature will rise up and probably kill everything that I'm trying to keep what cool.
Right.
So I'm just going to try to make it, keep it in the, you know, the high 70s, low 80s, and all of the seeds that I'm using, you know, things I'm trying to grow from seed, like the cucumbers and things like that, should germinate. Everything worked but those cucumbers. And I know that those and some of the microgreens didn't like that heat. So.
Okay.
I want to ask you about, because I'm doing it and I got roots, but I don't know when should I put it in dirt. I got a garlic bulb, and it got the roots, but I'm thinking, now should I divide it now and put it in dirt, or wait?
How long are the roots?
The roots is pretty, a good size.
Then I would go ahead and put it in dirt.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll look it up. But if you already got roots and they're a good size, you know, 2 inches or something like that,
I'm gonna take a picture and I'm gonna send it. I'm gonna take a picture of it and send it to you. I said I'm gonna take a picture and send it to you so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, now I'll look it up. And
I don't know, should I put them in the dirt now or wait or what? I don't know. I was just experimenting with the garlic.
Yeah, I have never grown garlic, but everything else, once it gets roots, with the exception of the potatoes, once they get roots, then it actually wants you to put them in water. So you get the roots from dirt, and you put them in water, and then...
No,
then
I got them in... What I did, I got it in water, and it got the roots. And now I'm asking, should I put them in dirt now or wait or what? Because I still can't put them outside yet.
Time frame is, it may depend upon where you're going to grow them at, what the temperature is, because I think they don't want you putting anything in the dirt. If the temperature in the dirt, like if you're going to put it outside, the temperature in the dirt is not above 70 degrees.
Right.
So, and if you have a potential to still get a hard freeze, you definitely don't want to put them outside.
No, I'm not.
Is that a cone?
I don't put them outside. Right.
So if you put platinum inside, as long as the temperature in the house is, you know, above 70 degrees, then they should do fine. But I'll look it up.
They ain't going to be? Okay.
Yeah, I'll look it up and see. Garlic, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look it up and see once they start rooting. I'm almost sure you can put them in dirt. I don't know how much. What I don't know is how you would actually plant them. If you put, you know, just the bottom part in dirt where the root is, or whether you bury the whole bulb.
Right.
That I don't know. So I'll look that up.
Okay.
I have, and I really need to get out here and do this too, but I have like a whole mess of collard greens and the cilantro. That's where I keep forgetting, but Sister Mary, you said you're growing that. Cilantro, collard greens. I haven't redone the lettuce yet. That needs to be reharvested, you know, because it, you know, I didn't harvest the whole plant. I harvest up to the growing tip, and then, you know, put them back up under the light. And now they're, you know, huge leaves on them again, and I need to harvest them off again. And you can, you know, you can get 4, 5, 6 harvests off of. No, they'll actually, you can get more than that because they'll actually turn into a tree. If you, you know, only keep harvesting the bottom, if you don't harvest the whole head,
mm-hmm.
you just, you know, the leaves at the bottom, the ones that are folded out and full, if you just harvest those and then collect those, the plant will keep growing.
Definitely don't mind me.
So were you trying to send me a picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were video calling.
I know. I'm trying to. I think it's this one. I'll figure it out later. Just be looking for me to send you some because I don't know how to do it right now, but I'm going to figure it out.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Power, we're still in the same place. I get all these other projects done. I want to play with, like I said, I have 2 windmills that I want to start playing with, but I want to do one on electric motor and one I want to run by the wind. If I put them on an electric motor and run the electric motor from solar, then I should be able to generate enough power to have these generators generate what they're supposed to. And the way the generators work, they will only generate enough electricity for what they can sense. So let's say that the generators are supposed to put out 3,000 kilowatts of power, but you only have 100 kilowatts of stuff connected, and that's all the generators are going to put out. 100 kilowatts. So I'm, you know, I didn't want to rely on the wind, but I wanted to make sure that this would work. Running it from, you know, taking a wind generator and running it from, you know, hooking it to an electric motor and running it as a test. And then I know that running it and generating from the wind, that it will work. And where we are, you know, where we have the land, that it is, you know, it's usually a pretty good breeze. So, it, you know, it's a viable alternative for energy. Just have to buy the batteries to store it in. So I was going to play with that. And then the solar, you know, the last part that we'll do is the electric generator, and I will get with the gas company up there, the propane company. And when it's time, have them to come put two large propane tanks in the ground. I don't want them above ground. Put them in the ground, and we will run the electric generators, the propane generators from that. I'm really trying to get funding for the, you know, the grant money to do this water. You know, it costs about $18,000 to drill a well. But then the well can dry up, and the well can be what? Polluted, contaminated. And a lot of the well water, the groundwater is polluted. If it's not already polluted, it's on its way to be. Or a lot of these cities are pumping water from, you know, the ground table, and there won't be any. You know, the more people we have on the planet, the more water we use. And the reservoirs, especially under the, you know, the huge cities, they are drying up, so they're going to have to get the water from somewhere. So I really want to get the funding for this atmospheric water generator, one for the land, and then I really want to, if at all possible, try to get it funded to where we buy one that is designed to make hundreds of thousands of gallons of water a day, because then we can do what? Sell it. Sell that water to the local community. Just to make money. If I don't have to pay for the machine, then that's just all the better. But, you know, the one that we're going to get for the community so that we always have clean water in sufficient amount that, you know, we can do whatever we want. You know, for cooking, for washing dishes, washing clothes, for bathing, you know, toilet, all that. This, the one that we're looking at will be able to provide enough water for all of that. And it'll just pull it right out of the air. So that's the route that that I would like to go on this. So we're still looking at that. And part of the grant, you know, with the USDA, is writing, you know, the writing the paperwork to get the USDA to fund it as a grant. And up under what heading do you think we could put that up under? See how your mind thinks. So I'm thinking that we would
say
do it up under sustainable. Well, what heading? You know, if we're going to do look for when you're looking for grants, then you got to have, you know, you got to have a reason for the grant. And you got to be able to explain, you know, what you're going to use the money for. And with this water system, not just providing water, but I want to use it also up under sustainability. So that, you know, you're generating your own water. You don't need to depend upon what? The municipalities? Did I lose you guys?
No.
Okay. Yeah, if we can secure the funding and get, you know, the USDA, because like I said, there's a lot of things that they will fund, that they will give you the money for it. But then, you know, you just got to explain how you're going to use it and what benefit, you know, who is going to benefit. And so the first one I would want to do is, you know, for the community that we are, you know, self-sustaining and won't have to get water, you know, we won't have to get water from the ground, and we won't have to get it from the city, the closest city, which is, there's no such thing. We would have to, you know, we would have to dig a well. Two things we can't get where we're at. Well, actually, that's not true either. We can't get anything where we're at. We have to be what? Self-sufficient. Can't get power. There won't be power, no electric available on this land from the state or any, you know, municipality for the next 50 years. So if we're going to have electricity, we got to do what? Bring it ourselves.
Right.
And the water is all well water. So we would have to, you know, we are what? Out there. Can't depend on the city for anything. Now, we all understand that, right?
Right, if we're going to be self-sufficient.
Right. So we want to be, you know, we got to be self-sufficient. And we want to put it, you know, if we're going to ask for money to buy this type of equipment, then I think we want to put it up under, you know, self-sufficiency and, what, sustainability?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think that I can make a case where if we bought, you know, another machine aside from this one, that we could actually make water and resell water to, you know, the closest city or closest community around there. Clean water. Because it's gonna become an issue. Watch. It's gonna become an issue. Not even gonna become. It already is an issue. Where these machines come in handy right now. Remember Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get water.
Yeah.
This guy took one of these machines down there and supplied water to like five different cities off of one machine. Everybody in those cities. And he pulled it right out of the air where the government, you know, the United States government wouldn't help them. And he took one of these machines to Flint, Michigan to provide clean water to, you know, the black community up there, and somebody vandalized the machine. And you know, he said he knows that it was somebody that it was intentional, and they knew exactly what they were doing because of what they tore up.
Oh, okay.
Probably the water company. That actually vandalized it. Sewer, we already talked about that. Whenever I go up there, I will schedule a company. It has to be done. I can't do it myself. To come up and do the I think they call it a drip test. And what it is they have to see how deep you have to go.
For
the water to step
well.
To drink, huh?
Is that for digging a well?
No, this is determining how deep you have to put the septic tank so that they will drain correctly.
Oh, okay.
And you know you can't do it yourself. You have to hire a company to do it. So I couldn't go up there and say, I dug down and I see that the water is, the soil and everything will drain correctly at this depth. You got to have a company, you got to be certified by a company.
Okay.
And I think it costs about, I think it's like $1,975, $1,000. To have them come out and certify it. Once they tell you what depth, then you can do all the other work yourself. Well, they say the tank's got to be 10 feet deep. And once they give you that depth, then you can, you know, everything else, you can do yourself. You know, you can rent the backhoe or rent the what do you call it thing? I don't know why I'm having a problem thinking today, but the little mini bulldozer. I was actually looking at buying one, trying to buy one.
Because
they come in so handy all the time with a lot of things. And, you know, we're going to need that type of equipment to move heavy, you know, real, real heavy loads. A bobcat. Yep, a bobcat. Now, you know, I had been looking at them and a used one was reasonable, and what you're looking at is tire wear, because I guess the tires are really expensive. You know, because that's where most of the load and everything else, you know, traction and everything else is in them tires.
Right.
And so that's what you have to, you know, what you really want to make sure, how many hours are left on the tires when you're buying one. But, you know, you don't get it, and then 3 months later, you got to replace. You got to spend $7,000 or $8,000 replacing tires, because they're not cheap. But you know, to buy one for like $15,000 or $20,000 was reasonable to me for what, you know, for what they offer and what they do. So, and again, once we start this, okay, so you got some roots down in the water. I would let them grow a little bit longer. Mr. Denise.
You, huh?
Yeah, I would let the roots grow a little bit longer.
Okay.
Like, let them grow down in the water some more.
Okay.
Unless they start turning brown, like trying to, you know, get, what do you call them, water rot or rotting out, turning brown?
Rot, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I would let them grow maybe 2 or 3 inches and then say, but I'll let you know. I'll actually look it up and see when are you supposed to transplant them.
Okay.
So, you know, this may be long enough, but, you know, just looking at it, I would think that they would be a little bit longer.
Okay.
So, yeah, so the sewer system, like I said, whenever I go up there, I will schedule the guy and see if I can get, you know, get on their calendar or do it ahead of time, that they will come out and do the survey and say, okay, yeah, the ground here, you know, the septic system has to be in, has to be so deep. And then I know, you know, get that letter from them, and then I know that the work already checked. The work doesn't have to be done by them, but they do have to provide the letter certifying how deep it has to be.
Okay.
And then, you know, the work I'd already always planned to do myself anyway. And then I thought, you know, we're going to do containers. Let's see if I have this. Let me see if I can send you guys this. I was going to buy some stock in this company while I'm able to, and the stock is really cheap right now. Let me see if I can find that. Hold on a second. And I will send you the link. Yeah, I'm going to send this link on your text on your phone. And if you have internet, you should be able to get it on your phone. Something that I'm looking at, I had tried to buy this 5 or 6 months ago, but they had closed it off where you couldn't buy it at that time. Since that time, since in 4 or 5 months, 5 or 6 months, whatever it was, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, so about 7 months ago. I tried to buy this, it was like 43 cents a share. Now it's 80 cents a share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to Amazon being $3,300 a share. And if you had the money, I would say, if you had the money right now, I would say buy some Amazon stock. If you had the money. Because Amazon is getting ready to split.
Yep.
They're going to do a 20-for-1 split. So you, if you own one share, after they split, you'll own 20 shares. They'll be worth less, but you would own 20-for-1, and then when the price of them go back up again, like to $3,300, you would, you know, your one share would be worth 20 times $3,300. Let's see. Yeah, one time I had like 60 shares of Amazon stock. And then when I quit Amazon, I sold not all of it, but most of it. Now when it splits, I have whatever I have left times 20. And then I would never touch it. I'll just let it do what it's going to do. And probably in, you know, I'll check it every now and again, but probably in 3, 4, 5 years, it'll be back up to $3,300 a share. Let's see here. All right, I'm gonna text you guys something. So check your cell phone. Let's see. Mary, all right, let me know if you guys got that.
No, not yet.
I got it.
Okay, if you look at that, these are like modular homes. So they come already pre-built, folded up. You get them, unfold them, and then if you look through that webpage, you will see the insides. Like the kitchen comes with the refrigerator and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them on YouTube.
Okay. Now, this is not like the container homes made out of shipping containers.
Right.
This is a company that prefabs them. And you can add on to them. This was another thing that we were looking at. But I was actually looking to because this stock is less than a dollar, investing in this. The only thing, only problem with this particular stock investing is that they may not be successful and you could lose all of your investment. And let's say you put up $100, bought 100 shares, it's still possible because they've been operating at a loss, you know, from the day that they started, which most businesses do. The first 7 years of a business, it's expected they're going to operate at a loss. Even if you start one, you know, the first 7 years, it's rare that, you know, that business is operating at a profit. So this would be more so of a long-term investment, and hopefully, you know, I was looking at buying 2,000 shares because it's only 80 cents a share. And that would put it at a little bit over 2,000 shares, somewhere around right around 2,400 shares. And then if I held it, you know, and not even look at it, hopefully they become profitable and go up to like $400 or $500 or $600 a share. And so later on, $400 or $500 or $600 a share, that's 500% gain, profit. And if it got up to $1,000 a share, then that would be what, $1 million? That makes sense?
Yes.
So and I would also be looking at this possibly being one of the ways that we do housing as well. I'm still thinking that we can get it cheaper, but as an investment, and, you know, I know that they have contracts with the military, and the housing industry is sort of moving this way as well. A lot of overseas places are moving toward this type of housing. I think they will do well, but, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to buy like $2,000 worth of this stock in the next couple of days and just sit on it. And then if it becomes profitable, then sell it and use it to fund other things in the community. Because I'm not doing anything for the sake of getting rich. I'm doing stuff to fund, you know, like I said, different things on the land. So, you know, if I make $1 million, we made $1 million. Doesn't matter if you put anything into it or not. That's, you know, my heart is, if I have the money right now to do it, and if it's successful, then it will go into the community. So take a look at it. As I said, it's young right now. It's still a high risk, but it's only 80 cents a share. So if it goes up to a dollar, if it goes up to 85 cents, you made a what, profit? But I'm thinking that it's going to go a lot higher than that.
I'm just talking. How do you invest? If I was the one to invest, then how would I do that?
You'd have to open up an account with a security exchange company, and you would buy the stock through them.
Oh, okay.
Like I have an account with Stanley Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I want to buy whatever stock, then I tell them, okay, I want so much of this stock. I have to deposit the money into the account. They buy it. There's a service fee for them, you know, handling it, because you just can't buy it yourself. And then that's basically how you do it.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, if you can't afford to lose the money, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't, you know, if I can't afford to go without the money, you know, it goes away. I can't pay, I can't eat, I can't pay the house, on, so I won't do it.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you have a little bit of extra money, like I said, you know, for those people who have children, they really should take the time and buy some whole life insurance on their children, because it's going to be cheaper. And then, because they're paying on it, you know, if they need, you know, money or whatever, then they can take a loan out of that whole life insurance policy, and they can either pay it back or not pay it back. And it won't go against their credit or anything like that.
Hey, Brother Mike.
So just different things that we as a people, you know, some of these things I'm just learning. And what the advantages of them are.
Right.
And everybody's tried to get over. No, I ain't going to say tried to. Everybody's been getting over us on us for years. You don't even know who to trust.
Q.
You do something thinking that you have, you know, thinking that you have this investment, only to find out that they just took your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that stops a lot of us from, you know, going into these areas. But as I said, for me, I'm investing only with the mindset of the kingdom.
Right.
That's it. And trying to make sure that, like I said, I think that this will be a good deal. I think that it'll be profitable if I just sit on it. So buy it, like I said, because it's very cheap right now. I mean, just think if you could have got in on Amazon first started. And let's say that you bought it, because at one time Amazon stock was like this, like 80 cents a share. And then if you were able to sit on it all these years, if you bought, you know, 1,000 shares of Amazon for 80 cents a share, and today it's going for $3,300 a share, you'd be fat, dumb, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have 1,000 times whatever 3,000 is, that's what, $300,000?
Mm-hmm.
But you only spent maybe, you spent less than 1,000 at 80 cents a share. You understand, the government's going to take half of that.
Mm.
They will. They'll automatically take half. So you might think you have all that money coming. They say, nope, half of it belongs to us. But they'll ship these anywhere in the continental U.S., You know, I'm going to check into the VA and see. And see if they would let me use this as a building, as a... a source for building? Because they'll fund the loan with no money down? Let's say that if I try to use my full benefit of $700,000, then $50,000, that would be like 12 or 13 of these units. I'm going to have to check that and see if they would let me do that as an option. Because, you know, I can go and hire a contractor to build a house, you know, build a custom house.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if I didn't want to do that, but I wanted to do this, and I designed, you know, sit it down and design it out, and say, I'd like to use these right here, and this is what I'm going to build, and have it include about, like I said, 12 or 13 of these. And they could actually customize them so that, you know, they will fit seamlessly. And you just connect them to your, you know, the water and the electricity. Yeah, I think I am going to look into this. And see, you know, if the VA would allow me to use this as a builder. In as much as possible, I want to do everything in cash, but if I could get 13 of these under my VA loan, I think it'll be worth it. Being ex-military has some pluses to it. All right, so yeah, just take a look at this as what they're offering. I really do think that I want to buy like $2,000 worth of this at 80 cents a share and just, you know, put it away. Don't even think about what it's doing and look at it again 2 years from now and see what it's done. But I think they're at that point where in 2 to 5 years they will be profitable and the stock will start to go up. And if they do what they're intending to do, which is to go global, then the stock should go up real high in price. And then what I would maybe just do is use that collateral. Take loans against it or whatever, rather than cash it in. But this style of housing and I was telling my wife, only thing I don't like about this is it ain't bulletproof. So, you know, one of the things in doing the container houses, by virtue of what they are, only way somebody could actually shoot you is, you know, they use armor-piercing bullets. Normal bullets won't go through those walls. They go through the windows, but they wouldn't go through the walls. this right here, I'm thinking that, you know, a 9 mil or whatever might be able to penetrate the wall. And one of the things that we want to do with what we're, you know, what we're doing, we want to make sure that we are able to, what, protect ourselves. And we wouldn't want the construction to be such that bullets could just go through the walls. That wouldn't be much protection. But as an investment in living, or, you know, we make some other type of arrangement as far as the fence. So, yeah, look it over. Let me know what you guys think. You know, just give me your honest opinion. All right, y'all awful quiet.
The text didn't come through my phone, Brother Miles. I think it might be on my computer. Let me check.
Yeah, it said it had a problem delivering to you, Sister Denise.
It's Sister Mary.
Let me try it again.
Okay.
Okay, see if you have it now.
Nope, I don't think so. Nope. Let me check my computer.
Okay.
Sister Mary.
Yes.
Do Brother Miles have your telephone, your cell phone number?
Yes, we do.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's where he have to send it.
That's where I thought I did send it. Hold on a minute. Let me check my text here. Oh, no, I didn't. I sent it to your home number.
Right.
Give me your cell number again, Sister Mary. I know I sent stuff to you there, but I'm not seeing it. What does your cell number end in?
6-8-5-1-6-8.
6-5-1-5-0-8-5-1-6-8. Just a second here. Yeah, that's right. I sent it to the 5-1-6-8 number. No, I didn't. Disregard. No, I didn't.
You just forgot all about me all day today.
Yeah, well, I got you in here as Sister Mary, but it's got your old phone number. And then your cell phone number is just a cell phone number. It don't have your name by it.
Oh, my bad. Okay, I just got it.
So you should have it now.
Hello? What happened?
Mary?
Okay, it says phone option summit. I don't understand that.
It should say block and block, box and block.
Did he drop off? Did the call drop?
Okay, I got it.
No, I'm still here.
Did. Oh, he's
no,
still
I'm
here.
Still here.
I got it. Yeah, this is
all right, amen.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, just look at it. Let me know what your opinion is on that, you know, from just looking at it and what they're offering. If you think that this is going to do good in the future or I don't know. Hmm?
Full size kitchen, refrigerator, sink, with a view of a bedroom, shower. Okay. Yeah, this is the same thing I saw on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Now, just remember, this is not one of those, this is not a tiny home, though.
No.
Yeah.
They were saying if you wanted to move, all you got to do is fold it back up and move it where you want to go.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, something, like I said, I'm looking at it. I think I am going to invest in it. Yeah, I think I am going to invest in it. And then, but I'm also going to look at the VA. Because, you know, as long as I say I'm going to live in one of them, I can say I'm going to rent out the others. And, you know, I just, you know, that'll just be where some of the money has to go toward. But it would be automatically, but we would have our living quarters. Because all of them come with, you know, the refrigerator, the stove, the bedroom, the living room, everything that you see there.
Yeah, they say washer, yeah. Dryer.
Right, automatically built into it. And so the only thing we would have to do is have it shipped to the land and then connect it to the what? Utilities.
Right.
So we connect it to the sewer and connect it to the electrical and the water, and it's, you know, they're ready to live in. So I'm going to actually check with the VA and see if I could use this as a building source. And then say, you know, I'm going to do X amount of bedrooms, or I'm going to use this as rental property. I'm going to stay in one, but I'm going to do 5 or 6 or 10, whatever I can get at the max, and we would be good to go. Because I know I used my VA loan when I was 21 when I bought my first house. And then I traded it back. When I sold my house, I traded my GI Bill back. And when I bought this house, I didn't use my GI Bill. I used regular FHA funding. So I have my full eligibility for my GI Bill. And, yeah. So I'm going to ask, yeah, I'm going to go to the VA and ask, can I use this as a funding source, use them as a builder, and if they say yes, then I'm going to say, okay, Because they will guarantee the loan, and I don't have to put anything. I don't have to put any money down. And who knows how much is required today to put down on a house if you want to buy a house?
Wow.
What's the percentage? What was that?
I was asking Sister Denise how much.
I don't know. I don't know. How, what's the percentage about?
Yeah, that they would require down.
Oh, 4%? I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you if you're trying to get a house today, if you're trying to buy and have it financed, I think it's either 20% or 30% down.
Mm.
So if it's a $100,000 home, then you have to have $20,000 or $30,000 down before they'll finance you. You know, through the normal bank, FHA.
Right.
But then if I go VA, I don't have to have any of that money down. The VA will guarantee it. So that's what where the VA comes in handy. Because they'll guarantee the loan, and they'll back the loan, and then I don't have to put any money down.
$100,000 house, you have to put down $20,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's up under normal conventional loans.
Right.
Let me Google that real quick. Conventional loans. Conventional loan limits 2022. That's not what I want.
Snowing again.
I feel for y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's see. The loan limits are like 600. Normal loan limits 647,000. If it's a high cost area, it's 970,000 that they, you know, FHA will loan up to on a loan. But I'm trying to see what is the down payment. No, I don't know why it took me automatically to VA loans. I don't want that because it's zero down. Conventional loan down payment, non-VA. No, they're actually saying, you may be right on this now, Sister Denise. They're saying, this side is saying 5% down. When it used to be, I know it was 20%. Can I get a conventional loan with 20% down? Conventional loan only require a monthly mortgage insurance premium, only when the homeowner puts down less than 20%. Plus, conventional mortgage insurance may be lower than the government loans if you have good credit and a decent down payment. Can you put down 15%? Yeah, so you're right, Sister Denise. It was actually 3%. I think you said 4%, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually 3%. So that something happened because it did not used to be this low. Okay, 2021. A guide to 3% down conventional loans. So yeah, right now, you know, the higher the down payment, the better, you know, the better loan you're gonna get. But 3% is the minimum that they're doing. And so with the VA, I wouldn't have to pay that 3%. That makes it more affordable, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you can get up to $647,200 with 3% down. And that would mean that, well, good grief. Let me pull up the calculator. Calculator. $647,200 times 0.03 equals, so that would be roughly about $19,000, $20,000 down that you would need. Okay. VA loans are 0% down. Let me see maximum VA loan. These places try to trick you into putting in a loan application. VA loan guarantee. So there's no limit. I hate these websites. If you have remaining time, don't be long and find out the current loan limits and how it may affect them out. As of 2020, if you have full entitlement, you don't have a VA loan. Okay, for veterans, VA, there is no loan limit. Eligible veterans, service members, or services with full entitlement no longer have limits on loans over $144,000. That means you won't have to pay a down payment. We guarantee your lender that if you default on a loan that's over $144,000, we'll pay them up to 25% of the loan amount. You have full entitlement if you meet any of these requirements. You've never used your home loan benefit, or you paid a previous VA loan in full and sold the property. Okay, I did that. If you apply and are eligible for a VA-backed home loan, you'll receive a certificate of eligibility. This is the document that tells a private lender, such as banks, credit unions, or mortgage companies, that you have a VA loan eligibility and entitlement. But your lender will still need to approve your loan. The lender will determine the size of the loan you can based upon your credit history, income, assets, items. We don't require a minimum credit score, but some lenders may have different credit score requirements. Be sure to contact more than one lender to compare. I know I need to get a new COE. Okay, I'll look into this a little bit later. All right, let's see, let's move on. I was going to get this certificate of eligibility from the VA. Let's see if I can do a search. Okay. I'm sorry, give me a hot second here. Are you guys still there? I'm not looking at my screen.
We're here.
Yes, okay. We are.
Give me a hot second here. I want to see if I can get, I'm supposed to be able to get this letter online. I'm trying to see if I can get it. Okay, I got a request for it to be restored. All right, that was simple enough. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I'm going to contact them. Okay. Any questions on anything that we've talked about so far?
Oh, not really.
I don't have any.
Okay. So I know you're working, Sister Denise and Sister Rachel, you're working. So, Sister Mary, I'm going to contact you and see if you can help me out with a little bit of research, if you have the time to.
Okay.
All right, amen. We'll be looking at the grant. I want to look at grant programs first and just, you know, do the research, flesh them out, see what the information is not easy to find, that's for sure. They make it, you know, it's available, but they don't really make it easy. To do.
Oh, well, they don't give up nothing.
Huh?
They don't want to give up nothing.
Right. They, you know, they say they got people getting the money, but everything that I'm looking at, you know, it always seems like it's a gimmick or something. So we'll look and see what all it actually takes. And go from there. right. So I'll be contacting you in the next few days, by early next week at the latest, and see if I can help you get started. Then we can collaborate from there.
Okay.
All right. Amen. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. On next week, we will be doing a bylaw review. So we won't talk as far as business goes, as far as your little land and anything like that, but we will talk bylaw review next week.
Okay.
Any questions or concerns?
No, I don't have any.
Anyone else?
No.
All right, amen. Then I make a motion that we close this meeting, adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it. All right, my sisters, I will see you on next Thursday. We do have Passover coming up, which will be, looks like it's next Thursday.
It is next Thursday.
It is. Yeah, so we won't have this meeting next Thursday. We will be doing the Passover observance at this time. And I pray to see you all then for that. Other than that, tomorrow's Sabbath. I am still planning to do, I've been researching divination. And before I actually do this precept, I got a little bit more research to make sure, but I'm almost 99% positive that divination is coming out of the Northern Kingdom from the time, you know, when the Most High destroyed the Northern Kingdom. This is part of the things that they were doing, and they kept doing it, and somehow it has bled its way back into practice, and a lot of people today are doing it, such as with the Bible codes and, you know, numerology. And the Bible code uses numerology, and the numerology itself is identified as divination. So you know, with the different numbers that people have pulled out of the scriptures, I just need to go before the Most High and see what he's saying concerning, like, you know, where it says, here's the he that has wisdom. Let him count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. Is one thing. But then when we're trying to use it to try to predict other things, I think we're in trouble. So doing that and using it for anything like that. But before I do, like I said, before I do the precept, I want to do a little bit more research. I was looking, you know, doing the research on the numerology in the scriptures, and where does it come from? It comes from the Kabbalah. We don't read the Kabbalah. We don't use it. But the Kabbalah is quote-unquote Jewish mysticism that they brought out of Babylon and out of the Northern Kingdom. Why would we ever use that? So that's what I'm looking at. And then when we're, you know, bringing it into modern times, and somebody said, oh, let's do a Bible code, and there's a lot of people out there that do it, I'm wondering, I was wondering why the Most High kept me away from it. But I see that it's a form of divination. He said, don't let it be found among you. Then I'm wondering why these people think that this is okay to do. And so I will let you know, but I will be doing a precept on that. Coming up here, I'm thinking it's going to be soon. And I'm gonna, you know, I want to put it in such a way and send it out to a lot of different people, but that to have them to consider it, because a lot of our people are, you know, it sounds fun and what have you, but if the Most High said don't do any divination, that's what he means. No divining. And so this is probably going to offend a lot of people, I'm sure. I'm sure that it will, because I know that we, in the past few years, we have gotten into it, and for whatever the reason, we are feeling that it's okay to do. And I think even when Brother Nakomi brought this up, and I first listened to him, I said, you know, I've never gotten into this, into this, but I didn't know the exact reasons why, and why it was not an important thing to me. But it looks like from the scriptures we are not supposed to be doing. So, but as I said, before I bring it up and say definitely no, that we're not supposed to be using it, and it goes against the word of the Most High. I know where the source is coming from, and I need to double check those things, because why are we using anything from Babylon, and why are we using anything that the Northern Kingdom was using and doing when the Most High said, you know, he got rid of them for doing this stuff. But all my research says that this is where it came from, and somehow they picked it back up. He even said that Judah, you know, was doing the same thing that the Northern Kingdom was doing, following after them. So I'm seeing where it's coming from, and it is according to the scripture, it is wicked, and we should not be doing it. But I want to make sure that I have all the history and the facts straight before I teach it that way. So look for that to be coming. I know that we, you know, all have played with, even when we were doing it online, I was right there with everybody playing this stuff, but it never has set well in my spirit, and I know the Most High has never had me to pursue it. So we don't want to be involved in anything that he says that, you know, it's not to be found amongst us. And we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be trying to, you know, just like we're not supposed to use what the horoscope, the astrology charts. We're not supposed to use those things. And most of us know we're not supposed to use those. But then when it came down to the Bible code, because they said it's the Bible code, the means by which they derive this code, I'm finding that, you know, it's coming from the Kabbalah, it's coming from Mishnah, which is assigning numbers and meaning to numbers in the scriptures and the laws and the names and the letters. And we're told not to do that. So I want to make sure that, like I said, I have it well documented. This is the source. This is where it's coming from, and this is why we don't do it. Or if I find out that it's okay, I'll tell you that it's okay to try to help find hidden knowledge. I think that's the way most people are looking at it. But in my spirit right now, what is coming to me and what I'm finding in the research is this was a forbidden art that the Most High said don't do, is something that the Northern Kingdom was practicing, and that they brought it back from that. So look forward to it. It will probably be well after Passover, but I need to make sure that I have, you know, all my ducks in a row. So with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. Can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family, and enjoy the rest of your evening, and hopefully the snow doesn't stick up there.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brother
Miles. All right, amen. Let's see, where is, there we go.
It's all about you. This is how to